All right, today we're going to continue our series talking about how to hear God. And this is one point at the very beginning that you've got to get, okay? One thing you've got to get. If you get nothing else, just take this home today. And it will not only help you in hearing God, it'll help you in every area of your life. You ready for it? Inaction is an action. Let's go ahead and write it down. Inaction is an action. Would you all just say that out loud with me, nice and loud, all right? Inaction is an action. Here's what I mean. In high school, I was going somewhere with my girlfriend. I sat down in the passenger seat. She was driving. Now, I always wore my seatbelt, even when it wasn't the law. I just wore my seatbelt. I thought it was dumb not to. But I got in the passenger seat, sat down next to her, and for some reason, I didn't put on my seatbelt. I'm like, yeah, you know what? We're not going to go very far. It's not a big deal. So I didn't put it on. She took off, and you all know exactly what happened, don't you? She got into a wreck. She is driving, the car in front of her slammed on the brakes. She hit them going 20 or 30 miles an hour. And when you're going 20 or 30 miles an hour, it doesn't sound that fast until your body is going 20 or 30 miles an hour and the car's not. I come flying straight up. My head hits the windshield. Sometimes things feel slow when they're happening fast. This felt fast. It was just in a millisecond. Just my whole body goes flying up, head hits the windshield, my neck turns, my back's in pain. I go flying back into the seat. She looks at me, she screams, "Are you okay? Oh my gosh." And from then on, like for a long time, my head and my neck and my back hurt. Inaction is an action. You know what I'm talking about? I should have put the seatbelt on, but I didn't. And that inaction was the action that caused me to get hurt. Let's say it this way. You can write this down too under that. There are always consequences to action and inaction. Every choice you make takes you somewhere. But every choice you don't make takes you somewhere as well. Let's be honest. We have all avoided things that we know we should have done. Inaction is an action. Let me give you an example from your own life. All right? Inaction is an action that maybe causes problems sometimes. Making a budget and trying to follow through on it. How about that? Studying for a test. Paying a bill. Y'all know inaction is an action when you don't pay your bill, don't you? Right? You find out real quickly. There are always consequences to ignoring things that we should do. Am I right? How about breaking up with someone? Inaction when you should have taken action is a very bad action when you should have broken up with someone and you did. How about moving out? How about helping someone in need? Inaction is an action. If you've experienced any of this and you're just like, you're on track with me right now, just say that phrase with me one more time. Inaction is an action. Today we're learning about how to hear God. During this series, you're going to learn how to hear God speak. This is the third week. You've already had 2 weeks. Some of you actually were emailing me and talking to me this last week about how you've heard God speaking to you and what he's been saying. And I thank you for sharing that with me. This is just amazing to see God doing amazing things here. Let me just ask all of you, do you want to hear God speak?
Yes.
Okay, if the answer is yes, then I'm going to ask you a question. God will speak to you if we put this stuff into practice. And when he does, what will you do? What will you do? Now, inaction is an action. And so I'm going to give you a warning today. If you put this whole thing into practice and you start to hear God, but then you ignore what God is telling you, it's going to end badly for you. But if you put it into practice, you hear God, you hear him telling you to do something, you do it, he's going to speak to you even more. When you obey God after he speaks to you, God will speak to you more because you've given, well, you're going to find out why. We'll open your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 19. All right, this is huge, okay? You go to page 852. If you've got a Bible around you, you can also use your phone to get on the Bible or whatever. Okay, this is Luke chapter 19. Jesus is talking here. He's sharing a parable. Now, a parable is a story with a point. A story with a point. A lot of people think that Jesus told parables to help everybody understand difficult things that they couldn't understand otherwise, but that's not true. Jesus tells us in Scripture that he told parables so that people who weren't supposed to get it don't get it. He told parables so that the people who God wanted to hear would hear and the other people wouldn't. So we're going to pray today in just a little bit that God will make us hear because we want to hear what God is saying. We want God to open our minds to this parable. But this parable is actually about when Jesus returns to earth. So Jesus died. He rose from the dead. He's with the Father right now. He's going to come back at some point. All of us are going to be raised from the dead. And we're either going to be judged or we're going to be entering reward. This parable is about when Jesus returns. And some people talk about this as though, and when we read the story, you'll know what I mean, as though he's talking about money or time or your abilities, what you've done with them. Today, we're going to apply it to when God speaks to us and tells us to do something. What did we do with it? Let's start reading verse 11. So you can find that big 19 there. You can go down to that little 11. That's the verse number. Chapter number 19, verse 11. Okay, so they had this situation, and then while they were listening to this, Jesus went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. In other words, they all thought the kingdom of God was going, boom, Jesus was going to come and like take over the world right then, and they didn't know for 2,000 years there was going to be the whole this church age. And so Jesus tells them a parable to help them understand. He said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then return. That's a reference to Jesus, just so you know. So he called 10 servants and gave them 10 minas. That's a type of money, like a gold brick. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him. And they sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom they had given the money in order to find out what they gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied, because you've been trustworthy. Remember this. Because you've been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Okay, so you got 2 guys who've done really well and they got rewarded for it. Then you get this third guy. Another servant came and said, sir, here's your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you're a hard man. You take what you did not put in and you reap what you did not sow. His master replied, so this is the king, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I'm a hard man, taking what I didn't put in, reaping what I didn't sow. Then why didn't you put my money on deposit so that when it came back, I could have collected it with interest? Then he said to those standing by, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they said, he already has 10. He replied, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. Remember this. To everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to become king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. All right, I want you to keep your finger there because we're going to open this up a bunch today. Now this, I want to break this parable down for you in one sentence here, and then we'll dive in deeper. The story broken down is this. God expects a return on investment from what he gives you. God expects a return on investment with what he gives you. And talking about whether he gives you money or time or his words, he expects a return on his investment from what he gives you. Now we're going to dig in and see what that means, but let's pray first. God, speak to us today. We want to know you better. We want to understand you. And we want to hear you. So help us in the name of Jesus. Open up all of us here at this service, hearing this sermon. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's take a peek at verse 12 and 14. Okay, these are some real key verses we got to get in our brain before we can proceed. All right, verse 12, a man of noble birth went to a distant country. Okay, this is talking about Jesus. Okay, he was a man of noble birth. He was God before he came to earth and was born in a stable or in a laid in a manger. He was coming here. So this is talking about Jesus. A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. This is Jesus. Now look at verse 14. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. There's a lot of people who don't want Jesus to be their king. Maybe you're here today and you're checking out a church and even the idea that you stepped in a church, you're glad you haven't got struck by lightning yet. Right? You remember before you were a Christian, when someone would start talking about Jesus, your palms would get a little sweaty. You get a little nervous. You'd be like, oh, I don't want to talk about this. Come on. Give me a nod if you know what I'm talking about. Right? People could talk about all kinds of stuff. They could talk about Buddha. They could talk about mysticism, spirituality, but don't mention Jesus. Why? Because the name of Jesus is offensive to people because they don't want Jesus to be their king. This is what Peter was talking about. There were a lot of people who didn't want Jesus to be king, but he did have some people that wanted him to be king. He was made king. So he returned home. Listen, He sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they gained from it. So this is a, look, before we go any further, we just have to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is our King. And before we can go anything talking about, I want God to talk to me, I want God to speak to me, we have to acknowledge that Jesus is a king. He is the king over other kings. And if I see him as anything less than that, if I see him as my buddy or just a God who's just a big marshmallow God who's just all fluffy and lovey and he just wants to be nice to me all the time, then we've seen him the wrong way. If we want God to hear, or if we want to hear God's voice, which is what we're learning, we need to remember this and ask ourselves a very important question. Let's write this down. Jesus is King. Why do I want the King to speak to me? That's the question. Why? So ask yourself, why do you want the King to speak to you? Is it to honor him? Or is it for selfish reasons? I should want to hear God's voice and know God's voice to obey God's voice. On your outline, it says the word is in there, to is obey. Cross that word out. I should want to hear God's voice and know God's voice so that I can obey God's voice. He's our King. We exist for him, not the other way around. So much of modern theology is all about God's here to help me. God cares about me. God loves me. Those things are true. But religion becomes man-centered instead of God-centered. Actually, when our church starts growing, it always makes me a little bit nervous because it's so easy to grow a church when you're talking about how much God loves you. Hey, God loves you. God cares about you. God's just happy with you. God wants you to be happy. God just wants you to be a big, happy bunny rabbit. And I don't know why I'd say that, but when you're talking about that, when you make religion people-centered, people will come to hear that. Give me a nod if you know what I'm talking about. And so when our church is growing fast, like it has been for years, sometimes I stop and go, wait a minute. Have I made this sound man-centered instead of God-centered? Because when you start talking about God is our King, and he might ask you to die, and you have to be ready to give up anything for him, a lot of people are like, well, that's not what I want to hear. I'm out of here. I'm pretty happy, though. I think most of the people at Revolution Church are ready to acknowledge that Jesus is King, and that they are not. If you just know that, would you just give me a yeah? 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 Okay, good. We're ready to acknowledge this. Jesus is our King. We need to respond to him when he speaks to us as though he's our King, not just an advisor. Let's look at verse 13. So, he called the 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. Now, a mina was about 3 months' wages. You know, so he gave them some gold bricks and said, put this money to work until I came back. Now, these minas in the story represent the Holy Spirit or the Word of God or your opportunities or your abilities. We all have different abilities. Someone from First Service texted in a question. They said, is this the same or different from the parable of talents in Matthew 25? Okay, in here, there's another story very similar to this one. Very similar, but it's a different story. In the story in Matthew 25, each person gets a different amount of talents, which was a type of money back then. But ironically, the talents are an analogy to our actual abilities and talents. And God gives everybody, let's just go ahead and be honest. If you know someone who has more talents than you, go ahead and raise your hand. Okay, if you know someone who has less talents than you, go ahead and raise your hand. Okay, good. No, stop pointing. I'm just kidding, all right? Right, so we all know people have more and less, and in one of the story, we're called like, hey, however many you got to make something of that. Now, in this story, everybody was given the same amount. This is why I think this parable is talking about the Holy Spirit or God speaking to us and the Word of God. Because you have the same, if you're a Christian, you have the same Holy Spirit that I have, don't you? It's not like you're a Christian, so you get the Holy Spirit, but I'm a preacher. As soon as I step on the stage, I get Holy Spirit squared, right? That's not how it works. I don't have a special Bible that's like preacher's edition. It's like here, Romans 9:10, and then it's Romans 9:10, A, B, and C that explains it for me, right? That's not, no, we all have the same scriptures, the same Holy Spirit available to us, and the point of this story is, what are you going to, because you've gotten the same thing from God that I've gotten, what are you going to do with it? Let's look at verse 15. This is about being faithful. It's about being faithful to what God's giving you. Look at verse 15. He was made king. He returned home. Then he sent for the servants whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had. Would you say this word with me? What they had gained with it. One more time. What they had gained with it. He doesn't say, hey guys, do you have those minas I gave you? I gave you all three minas. You still got them? No, he says, I want to know what you earned, what you gained. Yeah, you ever seen the movie Top Gun? Yeah? All right. So in this movie, when they were making it, you know, there's like, I don't know how many, four, five, six fighter jets flying around, F-14s and whatnot. When they flew these jets, you know, it cost $7,800 an hour just to fly these jets around. That was just the fuel cost. That's a lot of money, isn't it? I want you to imagine you're the director of this movie. The fighter jets get up, they're flying around, and you say, okay, guys, we're going to do take one. Ready? We're going to film right now. And the pilot responds and he goes, no, I'm not ready. What do you mean you're not ready? I kind of want to have fun. No, we're filming a movie. I just don't feel like it. I'm just not in the mood right now. This saw $7,800 an hour. Yeah, but I don't know. I'm just not feeling it. What would you do to that pilot? You'd be like, bring the plane down now. You are fired, right? Just don't eject, but land it, right? You'd fire him because you expect a return on your investment. The reason you gave him that plane was to make the movie so that you could make money. You expect a return on your investment. Now let's shut this off because this is important. God is going to speak to you with his words. And he speaks to you because he expects a return on his investment. He's not speaking to you so you can go, oh, wow, that was neat. God just gave me some advice. I will take that into account and I will ask my school friends too what they think. God speaks to you because he expects you to do something with what he gives you. You know what I'm saying? Let's write this down. God expects a, quote, return on his investment, as the way the parable would say it, with what he gives me. He expects a return on his investment, including the Holy Spirit speaking to me. God has given you, I'm just going to throw out there some other ideas here. God has given you money. God has given you time. God has given you skills, abilities, and a mind, as well as God has spoken to you or he will speak to you. And what have you gained for God's kingdom with those things? What have you gained for God's kingdom with your time, your money, your mind, your abilities, and the words that you hear from God? Because he is a king, right? He's speaking to us to honor him, not just for ourselves. Look at verses 16 to 19. The first servant comes back to him and says, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied, because you've been trustworthy in a very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master replied, you take charge of 5 cities. Wow. Okay, so these guys come to the king and they're like, wow, here's what we did. And I want you to notice what they did, right? They didn't come in, they're like, yo, king, I checked this out, man. Boop. You gave me 3 minas. I earned 10 more. What's up? Right? They weren't like, they weren't strutting their stuff. They weren't all excited about it. Don't ask me to do that again. They weren't all excited about it. They weren't like, I did it. What'd they say? They said, your mina earned. God, you gave me something and it was amazing. Listen, this is important because God's going to speak to you and we're going to obey him. And maybe God's going to tell you, hey, you need to invite this person to church. Hey, you need to tell this person about me. Hey, you need... And when that person comes to church, when that person gets baptized, when that person gets saved, all we do is go, God, I just did what you asked, and you did something amazing, right? We work hard, but God works it out, right? We're not responsible for the result. We are responsible for our faithfulness for what God tells us to do. Do you hear me on that? We are not responsible for the result, responsible for our faithfulness to what God tells us to do. God says, tell that person to church, then you go tell that person. God says, you move to that city, you go move to that city. And when something great happens to God, you did it. But what are the consequences of obeying God? He turns to you and then he says, You did very good. Did you hear what he says in there? He says, very well. Good job, Matt servant. He says, you did great. And I like what he does. He says, you earned 10 minas. You earned 10. I'm going to give you 10 cities full of minas. You earned 5 minas. I'm going to give you 5 cities. Here's the principle, right? We do what God tells us to do. We're faithful with what God gives us. And then he gives us more. Let's write this down. Principle. God rewards those who are faithful, those who listen in their way, by giving them more. God speaks to you, you obey, he will speak to you again. The consequence is that God gives you more. Inaction is an action, but real action, following through with what God wants us to do. I want you to remember this, because we're going to come back to this in a second, but we need to look at verse 20 and 21 and see what the result of inaction was. Verse 20 to 21. Then another servant came and said, sir, here's your mina. I kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you're a hard man. You take what you did not put in, you reap what you did not sow. Okay, this guy earned nothing. Now, I'm not going to talk about how he totally misunderstands the king. Oh, you're a hard man. I'm not going to talk about that. Basically, he doesn't understand the king at all. What he does, though, is he says, you gave me a mina, or 3 minas, and I put it in a cloth, and I made sure I didn't lose it, right? I still got it, and I didn't lose it. But inaction is an action. This guy was given, you were given something by God, your time, God's word, so you could do something with it. And there's always a consequence. Listen, if God gives you his word, he speaks to you, and you do not obey, should you expect to hear God again? No. Look. Look at verse 22. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I'm a hard man, taking what I didn't put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put your money on deposit so that when it came back, I could, I'm going to insert the word, at least have collected it with interest. That's what he's saying. Then he said to those standing by, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10. Look, there is always a consequence for an action. There are consequences for inaction. And this guy has a consequence for inaction. He loses what the king gave him in the first place. Let's write it down. If I'm not faithful with what God gives me, if I ignore it, even what I have will be taken. If God speaks to me and I ignore it, he may stop speaking to me. That's a big deal, isn't it? Y'all remember that game Frogger? You know what I'm talking about, Frogger, right? See, life is like Frogger. God speaking to us is like Frogger. The problem is, we think it's like that first little piece, the green part on the bottom. Remember when you play Frogger, like you would sit on that green piece until it was just right, until the cars were like lined up, and then you'd try to like launch yourself across it, right? You like go, 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 and or you jump up at just the right moment. Well, life is not like that first piece where you can just sit and wait and hold out. Life is like Frogger in the middle of the road, right? Like you're up there and the cars are coming. You can go forward, you can go backward, you can go left, and you go right, but if you stay still, you are dead. Inaction is an action. Am I right? Inaction is an action in Frogger. When you get going on Frogger, you got to keep moving. Listen, this is just like God speaking to us, because when God speaks to you, you got to do something with it. You can't just sit there, because inaction is an action. God tells you to move to the desert, then go. Take a car, take a plane, take a train. I don't care. You walk there. Man, take a pogo stick for all I care. Just go. Whatever you do, don't ignore it, because inaction is an action. Now, hold up. Some of y'all be thinking that I'm just talking theoretically, right? Like I'm God might talk to you. Maybe God has a voice to me. I don't know. Some of you are wondering why God didn't talk to you. Let me tell you something right now. This is a word from God. God speaks to us with this right here. And some of you are thinking, why have I never heard like God speak to me? And maybe it's because you already know something God told you to do and you ain't doing it right here. You've already ignored when God spoke, so why would he speak to you louder? You took that mina in a cloth. You heard God speaking, saying something in his word. Like if you read the word of God, you would know, man, sex is about marriage. Right? A man and a woman get together. They have sex in union. And this isn't just for pleasure. It's not just for happiness, because this is supposed to symbolize God's love for the church on earth. That's the reason marriage exists. And so I'm supposed to treat this with a very special way, because it's supposed to represent God's love for his followers, and it's not just a pleasure or happiness thing. So what you've done is, even though you've read that and you've known that, you're like, you know, God, I know what you said about sex, and I appreciate that and all. I'm going to make sure I don't lose that, but I got some business to go take care of. And then we wonder why God's not talking to us anymore, because we come back to, we're like, look, I'm still a Christian. But we didn't do nothing what they told us. Some of you are like, yeah, God, I know in your word you told me I should be generous. I give my first and my best to you. I know it talks about helping orphans. I know but God, you know, I'm really glad you put that in there, because someone needs to do that, because that's a really important thing. I'm not gonna forget that, God. And then we come to God and we're like, hey, God, guess what? I still own a Bible. And he's like, you own a Bible? Yeah, I still believe in you. He didn't give you his words so that you could own a Bible. He didn't give you his words so that you could just continue to be a Christian. He gave you his words because he expects a return on investment with you. He wants you to live your life and change and become the type of person he wants you to become, to honor him with your life. But we ignore him, and then we expect him to talk to us more? Inaction is an action. You already show God that you're not interested in doing what he wants. I am so saddened and so tired of people thinking that Christianity is just a religion we have to like make ourselves nice. God doesn't want nice people. It's not a thing we do. It's God of the universe is talking to you. And you're not listening. You're not doing what he says. And so you're not going to hear him anymore. Don't you want to hear God? If you want to hear God, listen, because he's calling your name. He's calling your name. And he wants you to obey. And he wants you to hear, right? Some of you became Christians. Did I already say this in this service? Like how you couldn't understand the Bible before you were Christians? Did I already say that part? No, remember? Yeah? Okay. It's just, sometimes I talk so fast, I forget where I'm at. Like, we sometimes ignore God's words and we're confused why God doesn't speak to us. Sometimes, but, you know, when you got saved and you started to obey God, suddenly, whoa, the Bible kind of makes sense now, and it never made sense before. You know what I'm talking about? Like, the Bible didn't make sense before you actually accepted Jesus' forgiveness. Then you start to, and like, the pieces that make sense now. So you obey those pieces. And then after you obey those pieces, God gives you more. You understand more of it. And pretty soon your whole life's changing because you've obeyed everything you're hearing in here. And then God starts speaking to you in new ways. Like, this is huge, guys. This is so good. I want you to know God's voice so bad. Look at verse 24 to 26, actually. And then he said to those standing by, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they said, he already has 10. That's what they sounded like. He replied, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now we read that, and people in this culture are like, no, 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 God's not like that. God is love. God loves everybody equally. Listen. Jesus is not interested in equality. Jesus is interested in effectiveness when it comes to his word in your life. He is interested in, we would call it in the church, faithfulness. God is not interested in fairness. He's not interested if you have more than me. He's interested in who's going to listen to him. And so he says, if you're not listening, he'll take his words away from you and he will give them to someone who will listen. This isn't the only time that Jesus says something like this. I had so many verses in this sermon. I could have preached another 3 hours, but I cut them out except for this one. John chapter 15. Jesus says, I'm the true vine. My father is the gardener. Okay, so Jesus says, like, I'm a vine. He's giving an analogy here. He cuts off every branch in me, because there's branches that come out of a vine. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. But every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. In other words, God gives you nourishment. Right, Jesus is the vine. You believe in Jesus. He gives you nourishment. He gives you his words. He gives you time. And if you're producing fruit that honors God, then God's going to give you more. He's going to prune you. He's going to help you. He's going to make sure you get really fat and juicy. But if you are not producing anything that God wants, if you are a dry branch that is just sucking up the words of God and doing nothing with it, he will break you off, is what it says. Will you be faithful to do what the king has told you to do? There are always consequences for obeying or for not obeying. You're gonna get more from God or less. Now, I mean, I'll just be honest with y'all. If you ain't gonna listen to God, then that's fine, because he'll just talk to me more, because I'm gonna listen. Anybody else in here gonna listen? Yeah? Then I know that God will speak to you, because if you're ready to obey, he will give you something. He will talk to you, because God said he would do that to the people who are producing fruit. So right now, start producing fruit. You know, someone actually last service texted in this question. They said, if we didn't listen to God at first, how can we be redeemed and hear his voice again? I love this question. It's so good. Here's the awesome thing about God. He's a merciful God, right? So if you know, man, there was something in here. I knew I should have done it. I didn't do it. I screwed up. I want God to keep talking to me. Here's what you do. You ask God for forgiveness and say, God, I'm ready to listen. I am so sorry I didn't listen. I am ready to listen. And God will open up his voice. He will give you another chance, because he is that type of God. Amen? He's the type of God of second chances, not only from our sin, but also when we don't listen the way we should. Would you look at verse 27? Here's some really bad news. There's three types of people in this story, right? We've talked about the type of person who did great. We talked about the type of person who believed in the king but didn't do great. There's one other type of person. Those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. Yikes. Look, Jesus didn't come to this earth so that he could kill people. That's not why he came here. He came here because we're all sinners. If you ever done something wrong, just go ahead and say, yeah, right? We're all sinners. I'm a sinner. I did stuff wrong yesterday. I had to ask for God for forgiveness. He came to this earth knowing exactly what each one of us would do. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus came here, he had seen your life already. He knew everything that you had done. He had known already everything you'd done wrong. And when he went to the cross, he was punished for everything that you've done wrong. God punished him instead of punishing you so that you could be free from the punishment of God, so that you could find joy in God, satisfaction with the Holy Spirit. God has given you new life through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But if you don't want Jesus to be king and you reject his forgiveness, that means you're rejecting the love of God. And if you're rejecting the love of God, the peace and joy of the Holy Spirit, the forgiveness of Jesus, the only types of things that are left are found in a place we call hell. You see, you either get the love, forgiveness, peace, joy, patience of God, or you get the rest of it. And no action is an action. Some of you are thinking, I'm neutral to God. I'm sorry, but inaction is an action. You might as well agree that Jesus is king over your life, because I guarantee you this, you're not going to find any other kings who are willing to die for your screw-ups. Is that true? God loves you so much. He not only wants to forgive you, he died for you. He also wants to speak to you. And those of us who've accepted God's forgiveness, when God speaks, we better follow through. I went out four-wheeling with my kids a few weeks ago. This is Macy. She's 6 years old. She was riding her four-wheeler. And it's pretty cool when I ride, because I'm on my big four-wheeler. Then I got like my five or six kids on other four-wheelers behind me. It's like ducks, right? I'm like a big daddy duck. And I'm driving around, and all of a sudden I hear, and a kid starts screaming. So I turn around, and Macy's totally upside down. She's on the ground, the four-wheeler's upside down on top of her. And so I looked at it, and I was like, oh, that looks bad. And I just sat there and watched. Is that what a dad does? No. We all know inaction is an action when your daughter's under a four-wheeler screaming, right? Inaction is an action. If I, as a father, just let her sit under that four-wheeler screaming, I'm a bad dad. Amen? And if we hear the voice of a king telling us to do this and we don't, we are bad servants, aren't we? Look, you don't know why God's telling you to do something. You're not always going to know. I'll just tell you right now. God's asking you to be faithful, not to know the result. God's asking you, look, maybe someone's life is at stake. You don't know what they're dealing with. And God told you to go talk to them. You don't know what they're going through. Maybe God has chosen you to be the instrument to bring the message of salvation to them. You don't know. I remember one of the first times when I was a teenager that, like, this is one of the first times I remember God speaking to me. It was so simple, so little. I'm coming out of a flower store. I had bought a bouquet of flowers. I was walking out. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm the man. I always think I'm the man. I'm like, I'm so awesome. I don't even remember why I bought the flowers. But the parking lot's full of people, and I look over and I see this lady. She's probably 40 years old. I was like 16, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Give her a flower and tell her God loves you. Okay. I checked it with my little filter. I'm going to mention the filter at the very end, which is like, okay, is there anything in the Bible that says I should or shouldn't do this? Nothing that says I shouldn't. I mean, it seems really okay with God to tell people that he loves them, right? So that seemed okay. I checked it against wisdom, right? I'm 16 years old. I'm a single guy giving it to this lady. I mean, that seems all right, right? Now I'm married now, so like approaching random women with flowers would not be a wise choice for me. I didn't have any jerk friends that I could ask their opinion because it was, you know, I didn't have time. But I checked it against what I knew is wise and from the Bible, and it seemed like the right thing to do, even if it was just my idea. And so I went over there, I gave her the flower, I said, hey, I just want you to know that God loves you. And I left. Now, I don't know what happened to that lady. Maybe she got in her car and was like, that 16-year-old's creepy. Or maybe she got in her car and cried, because she'd been going through something and she just said 5 minutes earlier, God, if you're there, show me. I don't know what the result was, but God didn't tell me to know what the result was. God told me to be faithful to what he told me to do, right? And God is gonna ask you to do things, and he's not always gonna tell you what the result will be, but he's interested in whether or not you're faithful to what he asked you to do. Let's write this down, let's take it home. If I hear God speaking through scripture or elsewhere, I will check it with some wise jerk friends if I have time, okay? Those are people who love Jesus, who are following Jesus, but also they love you and they're willing to tell you whatever you need to hear, even if you don't like it. Okay, you're gonna check with them. I will compare it to the truth in the Bible, because God will never tell you to do something that goes against what the Bible says. If you hear God tell you to kill someone, that wasn't God that you heard. If you're married and God tells you to date someone, that wasn't God that you heard, right? Check it against what the Bible says. If it passes the, if I will think if it is wise, right? You want to check it with wisdom too. If something appears unwise to you, but you think it might still be God, then you check it with your jerk friends. Because maybe God will ask you to sell everything you own and move to a desert. That seems unwise, but maybe your jerk friends will pray and say, we do think this is God saying that. So check with your jerk friends. And then if it passes those tests, do it! 100%! No hesitation, right? No hesitation. The beautiful truth is, the more you listen and obey, the more God will speak to you. Could you imagine if you understood the Bible because God kept revealing more and more to you, and you would read stuff in the Bible and it made more sense and more sense as your life went on. And then after that, you just kept obeying and God would actually speak to you about what he wants for you and where to go and how to live. And man, if God will talk to you, he will. But you must obey, because inaction, say it with me, inaction is an action. Thanks, let's pray. God, we love you and we want to obey. I pray that you will speak to us this week and help us to remember to obey, to be faithful. In the name of Jesus, amen. Have a great week.